Hello, and welcome to the AXA-XL Healthcare Risk Insights podcast. I'm your host, Shalay Hendrickson, Head of Healthcare Bermuda. On today's episode, we are going to discuss the incredible wildfire evacuation that was carried out by Adventist Health's Feather River Hospital. I have the honor of sharing this podcast with Maureen Wisner, Market Account Manager for Adventist Health Northern California Region. Maureen was at Feather River Hospital when the evacuation alert was activated. Welcome to the podcast, Maureen.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Adventist Health's Feather River is a 101 acute care hospital located in Paradise, California. It was severely damaged in the Kemp Fire on November 9, 2018. The Kemp Fire was the deadliest and most destructive wildfire in California history. The fire caused at least 85 civilian fatalities. It covered an area of over 153 acres and destroyed over 18,000 structures. The Kemp Fire took 17 days to contain. Employees, staff, and volunteers at Feather River Hospital were able to evacuate the entire facility without any lives lost. Maureen, on the morning of November 8th at 7:30 a.m., there was an order to evacuate patients and medical staff. What went through your mind in that moment when you were told to evacuate?
It sort of reminded me of what we had done previously. I went into autopilot mode. So I started thinking, I've got to get to the command center. I've got to start creating communications for staff and for the public. And I've got to start figuring out where the patients are going so I can communicate that to family members who are going to be calling in. It was really all business for me at that point. I stopped thinking about what my family was doing or what I needed to pack, to evacuate personally. I was really just all business focused. Let me get to the command center. Let me get going and get my communications pieces up and running.
Great. So it sounds like you did not go into panic mode. What did you witness a few minutes after the alert? Did you find that other staff were calm and collected, such as yourself? Was there a sense of urgency or, should I say, panic throughout the hospital?
I did not see any panic. It was definitely a sense of calm and competence. The staff were doing exactly what they had been trained to do. They were operating under our regular drill processes. They knew their roles. They were making them happen. Certainly, people were not just strolling down the hallways, but nobody was running, nobody was panicking. And as I went from one side of the hospital to the other, it was definitely a sense of control. We know what's going on. We're taking care of our patients and we're making this happen as quickly as we can.
Oh, that's great. You talked about your drill processes. What are some of the procedures that the facility had in place that you found were most beneficial during this evacuation?
We have practiced a variety of drills for a variety of purposes many, many times. And Feather River had the luxury of having staff who have worked there for many years. So we had people who had a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience, as well as in 2008, we had totally evacuated the hospital and closed for 10 days due to fire threat coming our way. So we had several people who actually had been there who knew that process as well. That evacuation certainly took hours. The evacuation on November 8 took less than 40 minutes.
Wow, that is fast, considering some people can't even wake up, get dressed, and leave the house in 40 minutes. So that's very impressive that you were able to do that, that you and the team were able to evacuate within 40 minutes.
It is very impressive. And, you know, the staff who worked really hard to make that happen, certainly by God's grace and blessing, are to be commended for their calm manner and for their training, kicking in and following their procedures, the practice that they had done for multiple times over multiple years, certainly served them very well.
Maureen, can you talk about the resources that Adventist Health had in place to deal with the post-traumatic stress of both patients as well as staff?
Adventist Health has taken very, very good care of their associates. They have offered counseling and support for associates who were affected by or displaced by the campfire, as well as almost immediately following the campfire in late December, Adventist Health worked diligently to reopen the Rural Health Center in Paradise so that patients could be cared for with healthcare services, including behavioral health and counseling. And that facility opened in January and has been offering behavioral health appointments for counseling services as well as psychiatry services since January for the community at large. We know there is a great need, and we know that what we are doing is not meeting that full need. But I know that Adventist Health continues to find ways to bring in providers and bring in services that will support those needs and help this community through those post-traumatic stress concerns.
That's great resources to have in place. Maureen, do you recall how many patients were in the building at the time of the evacuation?
There were approximately 69 inpatients in the hospital at the time. Some of those patients were, of course, immediately discharged. A few of those patients were transferred to other facilities. Our sister facilities in Butte County were both willing to take patients. Our challenge was, of course, we were not able to get ambulances up to the hospital in time. The way that we were able to evacuate patients so quickly was because we had associates who brought their own personal cars, took patients in their personal cars, and then left to take them to other facilities in our county.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit about your transfer process for patients?
So normally a transfer process for patients is to contact the receiving facility, let them know we're transferring a patient, transfer the patient via a registered ambulance service, and then the patient arrives. The patient arrives with a packet of their medical records in addition to the shared electronic medical record system that is used. But that normal process could not happen. There just was not time. So as patients were loaded into associate vehicles, the staff who loaded them would tell the driver, take this patient to and identify the facility where they needed to go. Primarily, all of them were told, get down the hill and get to Enloe Medical Center, which is the trauma center for Butte County. Some of our associates were able to get to the other hospital in Butte County, which is Oroville Hospital in Oroville, depending on how they were directed to evacuate out of town and how they were actually able to leave town. Because some roads were blocked and some evacuation exits were totally gridlocked with traffic, not every vehicle was able to go where they might have been directed to go to, but primarily they were told to go to a facility based on which care provider put that patient in an associate vehicle. And the bulk of them were sent to Enloe Medical Center because that is the trauma facility for Butte County.
Maureen, when all of this was going on, was the hospital on fire or did you just see the fire coming down the street?
So while I was in the hospital, mostly where you're inside the hospital, you don't have windows where you can see. If you're in the internal hallway, for example, where we had patients lined up to evacuate out, you couldn't see. If you were outside, you could see the smoke and the fire all around the hospital campus, but it was not clear to me what on the hospital campus was burning at that time. Later, we found out that there were several outbuildings on the hospital campus that were on fire at the time that we were evacuating, but while we were in the hospital evacuating, it was not possible to see that happening. It was very difficult for people, particularly in the OR where there's not a single window or awareness of what is happening outside the OR, to know what was going on outside the hospital. So for the doctors and the staff in the OR who were completing those surgeries, when they were done, they had no sense of urgency until somebody came and said, we have an urgent need for us to go now.
Maureen, can you tell us what was the process in place to make sure that all patients had been evacuated?
So that is part of our evacuation plan, that as a patient is evacuated, they tag a door so that anybody coming past sees that that tag on the door means that that room has already been evacuated. They don't need to check that, waste time checking that room again. And when we were all done, as the fire department came in to validate that we had evacuated, they could see that every room and every door had been tagged. And they said it was one of the best tagging procedures they had seen happen. That is part of the plan. That is part of what we practice. You evacuate a patient, you tag the door.
That's amazing. I still can't get over the fact that all those patients were evacuated in under 40 minutes. Maureen, having been through this fire evacuation as well as others in years prior, what specific lessons learned do you think you should share with our listeners today?
You can practice and you can practice and you can practice and you will never know what will happen. We've practiced an evacuation in the past when the fire was threatening us in 2008, and it took us hours and we waited for ambulances to be able to get there to take patients. And that was the process we were able to use and follow in 2008. We had no time to follow that same process in 2018. We had to do something different. On the fly, one of our emergency department nurses said, "We need associates to take these patients out. We can't wait for ambulances." And all of a sudden, associates were driving up to the ambulance entrance in their vehicles to load up patients. If we had kept waiting for ambulances, we never would have made it. It is the ability for you to remain calm and to think under pressure. And the only way you can do that is when you practice scenario after scenario. I will tell you, we could not have practiced for this scenario. Nobody would have ever in their right minds thought, oh, let's practice for a wildfire coming our way that's burning on our campus and we have to evacuate in 40 minutes. Nobody would have ever suggested that that could have happened. And yet it did. So you can never practice enough. And I think some of the lessons that we learned were that the practices that we had certainly contributed to our ability to move quickly and smoothly. It contributed significantly to staff's ability to remain calm because they were, I know what I'm doing. I've done this before. I've practiced this. I'm confident in my abilities. And that confidence extended to the confidence of the patients in the staff because the staff were not panicking. I think that those things were certainly very valuable for us. I think one of the lessons we learned in addition was that our plan incorporated using outside resources to help us evacuate patients. We did not have an internal component for that evacuation. After this event, our plan should include an internal component. And probably any organization should consider, if we couldn't get outside help, how would we do this ourselves? And it was not part of our plan originally, but it should be. So I think lessons like that are valuable and can be shared around the nation for organizations who may never and hopefully will never have this kind of thing happen, but they would be ready to use an internal process for evacuation of their patients if it was necessary.
Maureen, it was a pleasure to have you join our podcast today. You have provided us with the emergency evacuation insights that I trust will be useful for our listeners.
Thank you for listening to the AXA-XL Healthcare Risk Insights podcast. Stay tuned for future podcasts where we will dive into other current and developing risks impacting the healthcare industry.